may be a little counterintuitive, but honestly, sometimes I find Lent uplifting. And yes, in this time we're singing our hymns that are more in a minor key. Our collects are a little more dour, like this morning, saying, Lord, we admit that we have nothing in ourselves to help ourselves. But at the same time, during Lent, gives us a chance to stop. Take some time and space to pause. To think about who we are and who we are meant to be. And this really got to me this week, looking at the story of Moses and given his great commission of going down into Egypt, telling Pharaoh to send out God's people so they may worship him in the wilderness. You know, but at that moment, Moses had to stop. Moses had to pause. Moses had to really think about who he was and who God was calling him to be. We see this story of him tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he was in the land of Midian, and then he had joined this other family that will be important in a few moments. And while he was tending the flocks, he was up on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. He didn't know it was the mountain of God yet, but he was soon to find out. And there he was, and he saw this bush that was burning up, but it wasn't consumed. He said, hey, something's going on here. I have to stop. Just take a look at what's going on. And as he noticed, as he just took away, set aside some time away from the mundane, ordinary stuff of life, he was able to experience the extraordinary. And in that moment, God reminded him of who he was and where he came from. The fact that he had this amazing family that God had made and promised to all those years ago. And that despite the size of the task before him, God was with him to offer help. And this isn't just a task or a journey or spiritual experience that Moses has. We all go through these same things. We notice God when we turn aside. And God treats us like family because we have been adopted and grafted into this great family of faith. And no matter what our own calling is, God is there to help. God is there to give us the help that we need. And so just like Moses, we also need to take some time to stop and to turn aside and to really have the time and the space reflect on who we are. When Moses saw this burning bush, he said these words. He said, I must turn aside and notice this great sight. Now there was some intentionality about this. He had to make a conscious decision at this point to about all the sheep and the goats and the flocks and everything he was tending at that point and say, okay, I'm going to take my attention away from them. Hope none of them run away. Hope none of them start fighting. I hope nothing happens where I have to, you know, go back and look. But he said, I'm going to turn my attention from them and just see what is going on. See this bush that is burning up, or that is burning, but not being consumed. There's an interesting tidbit there in the language. There's an interesting use of the word repent. And it is never translated that way in the English. In the English, he says, I am going to turn aside. I must turn aside and notice this great sight. But the Hebrew is actually very clear. He's saying, I must repent and look at this great sight. Now, this goes against what we think of repentance. We think, well, Moses wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't being bad. But what does he have to repent of? Why does he have to repent? Well, in this case, the word also mean just turn aside. You might be facing this direction, you might have to face this direction.
Or even farther so I can see all of you back here.
You don't want to do that.
So it's just turning. And in this case, he was turning away from the ordinary to the extraordinary. If you'll notice, a lot of what we do in life, things that really bring us joy and wonder, and things that are sublime requires some intentionality, requires us to take some time to stop and to turn, to put aside the ordinary things of life. Whether it's a hobby that brings us joy, I always know with my guitar when I need to sit down and work on a new jazz tune. It's the dishes in the sink. Always a little bit more housework that needs to be done. Always something else ordinary that I need to attend to. No, but those things aren't ordinary. Sometimes it's well worth it to take the time to turn to something else. And the spiritual disciplines are especially true for that. Whether it's something like daily office or a personal Bible study, whether it's something where we're just carving out some time for God, it requires us to take some time to stop, take some time to turn aside. And there are great benefits in doing this. You know, the benefits we get from having regular spiritual practice, just having something we do every day, is that we get grounded and centered. We are right there in whom we are. That always happens when we take time to turn aside, to stop. One of the other benefits that we discover the more we get into these spiritual practices is that God turns and treats us like family because we are family. First thing God said to Moses after, take off your shoes, the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then God introduced himself to him, said, I am the God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now we've heard these words plenty of times, haven't we? God introduces himself to people like this in the Bible. Whether it's the period of Judges, the period of the Exodus, to the prophets, I am the God of your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This would have really struck a nerve in Moses. It really would have struck a nerve because he had left all of that behind. Now think for a moment of what he went through coming up to this. You know, Moses, he was a Hebrew, but he was left on the Nile and raised in Pharaoh's palace. So he was kind of separated from his people there, but not completely because he still was trying to advocate for them. He was still trying to be a good Hebrew. And then there came that ill-fated day when he noticed an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he looked over his shoulder and made sure no one was watching him, and he grabbed the Egyptian and killed him, buried him in the sand, and thought, okay, all that's done. The people knew about it. People said the next day when he saw a couple of his brothers quarreling with one another, he tried to stop them. And they said, well, who are you to judge us? Are you going to kill us like you did to that Egyptian? So he was terrified at this point, and he just ran away. But he left his home, he left his people, he left his family, and he met somebody new. But he met the people of Midian. They might have worshipped God, they might not have, not entirely sure. But he just entered into a new kind of family. And in this family, he met a wife, he married her, children, and he had a job. And his job was to take care of the flocks of his father-in-law. And so that was his life. And yet, in this encounter with God, God reminded him of where he came from. I am the God of your fathers. Moses was probably thinking to himself, you know those people I ran away from? All those people I thought I left behind? Yeah. And I'm going to send you back to them. So Moses, though he was cut off from his people, God brought him back to his roots, back to Abraham, back to Isaac, back to Jacob, and back to the promise that God made to them. And said, Moses, you're the person who I'm going to bring this promise to fruition. You're going to lead them out of Egypt, and you're going to bring them to the promised land. Land flowing with milk and honey. Because you are one with them. Because you are found. Sometimes when we look at these great stories of faith, it can be easy to disconnect ourselves from them. Say, well, yes, that was Moses, and yes, that was Abraham, and yes, that was King David, and Gideon, and Samson, and all these wonderful heroes of faith. And say to ourselves, well, okay, but But the very fact of the faith is, one of the great things that we know, is that we are made one family with them. And St. Paul, in his writings, various writings, he laid this out for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, St. Paul talked about us as that we were destined for adoption into God's family. Now, so all of this great history throughout the Bible, which had to do with, you know, started with a small family, and the family kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, but ultimately they were all family. And St. Paul said, at least in Ephesians, he said that we are part of that family because we have been adopted into that family. In Romans chapter 11, he uses a different metaphor. He says, you can think of it this way. You can think of this great branch that has all these olive shoots off of it. You know, and it's a branch, it's an olive plant. And so he says, now you are like the vine branches that we found out there. We have grafted you onto this main vine. So being God's family and the heroes of the faith from time immemorial, they were like that vine. And this according to St. Paul, he says, we're like the wild branches that have been grafted in. Yeah. Cut a little bit, put together, tied there, and then grow it together. So just like God was saying to Moses, I am the God of your fathers, he says it to us too. Because all these great people of the faith, all these great people of ages past, are our family, in either through grafting or through adoption. We are one with them, we are family. That also means we're family with one another. All over, you know, we're family. But within this family, God has tasks. God has things that he calls us to. And God also promises to be with us throughout what we have to do. And God laid this great task before Moses. He says to him, I want you to go to Pharaoh, who, by the way, was the most powerful person in that day and age. And he says, and I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they will worship me on this mountain. And Moses had a very normal, natural response. Who, me? You don't? I'm the only one here. He's saying, God, who am I that I should lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Now, ooh, just little old me. Don't you know the things I've done? Don't you know I had to get out of there? And God's response was this, I will be with you. So the fact that Moses was unsure of himself, the fact that Moses had doubts, was fine. Because God was there offering help. All of us, just by nature of being a Christian, have a calling. We have something that God calls us to do. And everything is important and everything is valuable. And sometimes we look at those calls and, like Moses, say, who, me? It'd be a little easier to do that in church because there's other people around. Somebody should do this. What do you mean somebody? You know, somebody. I don't know anybody named somebody. You know, it'd be easier to have. But God does call us to these things, and God still does offer us his help. Just like God offered help to Moses. Something else St. Paul points out, this was to the church of Philippi. So in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. And he was admitting there, and St. Paul, he had this really prolific career as an evangelist, as a missionary. He planted churches. He said sometimes it went well, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes I got into a lot of trouble. Sometimes it was just a wonderful experience. He said, despite all of that, I've been able to do all of these things because Christ strengthens me. And this is very important because it is so fundamental to the faith. That the very reason that Christ came and walked among us and calls us in and grafts us into this grapevine is because we were meant as human beings, the way God designed us, was to be filled with divine life and divine love. That was something that Adam and Eve experienced so much before they had lost it in the Garden of Eden. But in Christ we have a gift. So just like Moses had this divine help, whatever it is that God is calling us to do, we have God to help us as well. And that's just the nature of grace. Grace is this wonderful gift, just energy and help, everything that God has given us. Just because. Just out of love, just because we are family. And it happens when we take the time to stop, to pause, and to turn aside. This sounds like Moses' journey, but this is our journey as well. Just like Moses, we are part of this great family. This family we were adopted into, this family we were grafted into. And as part of this family, we are called to do things. You know, to be things. God gives us the help to do those things. And it all starts when we turn aside. Just take the time, a little bit of time every day. You can do a minute. You can set aside 20 minutes. You can five to 10 minutes at the end of the day, join us for coffee. Those are great times to turn aside. Those are great times to pause. And so, yes, these ways we do find Lent uplifting. Because during the times of Lent, it's just great, these great times for these pauses. Just to turn aside, just take a little break from the ordinary of the world and see those extraordinary things that are so much greater. Amen.